Amen. I trust that song was an encouragement to you. It's amazing how music lifts our spirit and can encourage us. And certainly in these trying days, we need that. We need the Lord to lift us and draw us closer to Him. And Hiding in Thee, what a wonderful song and a great truth and a great reminder there. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In the Word of God, we'll read a portion of this scripture here from chapter 4 in 1 Thessalonians. I know if you're listening, being in the Lord's house is an important time, an important part of your life. And it definitely is difficult days when we can't be together and be here in the Lord's house and be encouraged together. It certainly is a challenge and a difficult thing, but we know that is what Lord has for us right now, and we trust that we'll quickly get through this and be able to be back together in the Lord's house. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others, which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. As a child, I remember playing the board game called Mousetrap. And I'll ask for a raise of hands even though I can't see you. No. Maybe you remember playing that game as a child called Mousetrap. Well, the game consisted of setting up a series of pieces that when set off would trap the small game pieces that were in the shape of little mice. Hence the name called Mousetrap. Once the entire board was set up, you had to set in motion the trap, and it would go through all the different sequences that finally resulted in the trap working and setting off the trap. In God's perfect plan, there is an event that will happen that will set in motion the eschatological events or end time events that God has planned. This event that we have just read about is, we call, the rapture. And that event will set in motion God's plan for the future events that we know of and we read of throughout the Bible. But just like that game, there were a number of things that happened. You had to set the whole contraption in motion. And it went through all the different things and resulted in that trap going off. And it reminded me of this event. The rapture is that event that will set everything in motion about God's plan for the end time events. The rapture. And it's a very significant event that is going to take place, especially for the believer, for Christians. It's something that we regularly need to be reminded of. And regularly need to be challenged with the truth that Jesus Christ is coming again. It's a very much a reality that we see in the Bible that Jesus Christ is coming again. The rapture is that describes that event when Christ is going to come and take away the believers, all of those that are His own, those that have died and are in the grave, that have trusted Christ, and those that are still alive. He is going to take up to heaven to be with Him forever. And it's good for us to be reminded of this truth. Certainly in discouraging days, to be reminded that our Savior is coming again. He's not going to leave us here. He's not going to let us with no escape. No, someday He is coming to draw us out, to take us away, and to be with Him forever. Now, verse 17, 16 and 17 of our text is where we get the word and the concept of rapture from, specifically verse 17. It says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." That word rapture we don't find specifically in the word of God, but it's the word that we use to describe this event. It literally means to seize, to snatch up, to carry off by force. It's the idea that carries the emotion of a sudden swoop, a force that cannot be resisted, something that comes in and swoops in and happens, and nothing can be done about it. So that's the idea of the word rapture and what we see taking place here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This seizing, this snatching up that Jesus Christ is going to do for the believers. He's going to seize us. He's going to snatch us up and carry us off to be forever with the Lord. I couldn't help when thinking of this example and these words of to carry off by force. I was thinking of, and maybe you've seen this in person or a video, of a bald eagle, which is a great animal, very magnificent being, animal. And when you see it coming in and just coming into the water and scooping out a fish and taking it off with it, it reminded me of this, that seizing by force, and that force that cannot be resisted. There that fish is swimming, and that bald eagle comes in and just scoops that right out of the water and has no idea it's coming, can't see it coming. That eagle comes in and seizes that fish and carries it off, and that fish can't do anything about it. Fighting against that strong eagle is nothing in comparison to the strength of that fish. And that's the idea that we see here of the Lord Jesus Christ. When He comes and that rapture takes place, He seizes us away. There's nothing that we can do. It's a sudden swoop where He's going to come in and take His children home to be with the Lord. What a day that's going to be. And a wonderful thing that is. Now tonight, I would just like to emphasize three truths about His coming to rapture away believers that should encourage and motivate every single Christian. And, the circumstances that we are facing as a country, as individuals at this time, you know, this ought to encourage us. It ought to motivate us to be faithful and to serve the Lord until He comes to take us. I want us to notice tonight, first of all, the promise of His coming. You know, when God makes a promise, we can count on it. It is never going to fail us. He will never let us down. Oh, we've had people promise many things to us, and oftentimes they come short. Those promises come up short. But when God promises something, when we see something promised and clear in the Word of God, we can count on it. We can put all our confidence, all our faith in that promise. And here in our text that we've seen read tonight, we see the reality of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 16, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." That's in no uncertain terms. With the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We also see this promise and this truth throughout the New Testament. Turn over with me to Acts chapter 1. And really, this is really where it all starts. In Acts chapter 1, of course, this is the ascension of Jesus Christ, where he left this earth. And the disciples, they're gazing up into heaven, looking where Jesus went. And in verse 11, it says, the angel says, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come." Wow. Can you imagine the disciples seeing him ascend? And the fact and the promise that he is again coming someday. Of course, the rapture is the first phase of that coming. We can look at the coming of Christ, the second coming, as a big time of an event with maybe different phases. And the rapture is that first phase where he is going to come again, where we will see that very same Jesus that was there with the disciples, that was there on the cross of Calvary, that died for our sins, the Son of God. So at the rapture, he is going to come again and to take his children, those that have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. He's going to take away. We see throughout Paul's epistles and the other epistles, they often alluded in reference to the fact that Jesus is coming again to finish, to be faithful to the end, and the fact that Jesus is coming again. And this promise, it's a certain thing. Turn over to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And I love this verse in chapter 2. 1 John chapter 3 in verse 2, it says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know." But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Wow, I just had to stop earlier today and meditate on that verse. And all that that means. But we know, just the confidence that we ought to have as Christians. But we know that when he shall appear, there's the promise, he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. We shall see him as he is. The certainty and the confidence that we ought to have that Jesus is coming again. Back to our text in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This passage is really one of the most definitive passages on the rapture in the Word of God. And certainly it's a great place to reference here tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in verse 16, I read this, emphasized it earlier. At the beginning of verse 16, it says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven." That very same Jesus that died, that came and died on the cross, that left the glories of heaven, the Son of God, is the very one that we one day we'll see, the very one that will one day come and take us out of this wicked, sin-cursed earth. So we see in the Word of God, it's a clear Bible fact that Christ is coming again to rapture away believers. But as we think about this subject, let's consider the timing of his coming. And over the years, decades and centuries, many have erred in trying to figure out when Jesus Christ was going to come. And it's important to have the right biblical understanding about when Jesus is going to come. a word that we often use to describe the coming and the timing of the Lord Jesus Christ is the word imminent, which maybe isn't a word that we use very often anymore, but it accurately depicts Christ's coming and the timing of it. The word imminent means at hand or about to happen. And this is gives a very accurate picture of the coming of Christ, because his coming is imminent. It's at hand. It's about to happen. It could happen at any time. In other words, there's nothing that has to happen in order for Christ to come. You know, we don't have to wait for the world to get bad enough for him to come. No, he could come today. He could have come 10 years ago. He can come in 10 years. It's imminent. We don't know when it is. It's at hand. It's about to happen. I remember a few years ago when the president came to Milwaukee. I had the opportunity to be in a group that where he would come and get off the airplane. And I just specifically remember we all had an idea of when he was going to be coming. We didn't know exactly. But I remember all of us in the group, we were peering off into the distance. We knew which direction he was coming from. And when it kept getting closer and closer, you could just tell the whole crowd just was peering off into the distance. We knew the president and his plane was coming. We knew it was going to be coming very soon, but we didn't know when. And we were all waiting and anxiously looking off in the distance. And finally, we could see a light out in the sky, and we knew that that was his airplane. But it reminds me of this event, the coming of the Lord Jesus. It's imminent. It's at hand. Boy, it could happen at any time. But he is coming. We know he's coming. We know he's going to be here. And like that day, we were peering off in the distance. We knew he was coming. He was going to be at any time. And that's the coming of Christ. It's imminent. It's at hand. It's ready to happen. He's going to be here any moment. And this word imminent really carries a sense of urgency with it. You know, it's something that we ought to be very conscious of, and something that we're very aware of. And it's a part of our life and our thinking and what we're doing. It's imminent. It's urgent. Not just, nothing to be really worried about or to think about. No, there needs to be a sense of urgency with it. You know, Christ Jesus is coming again. I need to be ready. I need to be looking. I need to be watching and waiting for his coming. So that word imminent and the coming of Christ really is connected to that sense of urgency that ought to accompany the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, turn with me over to Matthew chapter 24, and I want us to see an illustration in the Word of God about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 24, and beginning in verse 36. And the illustration we see here in the Word of God has to do with a thief that comes in the night. And it really is connected to that word imminent. It's at hand. It's about to happen. And that thief that comes in at nighttime helps us understand the timing of Christ's coming. Now, this passage is really, as I said earlier, referencing a larger event that we call Christ's coming, his second coming. But certainly there is overlap to the rapture and when he actually comes and sets up his kingdom here on the earth during the millennium. But this is really has to do with the first phase. The rapture has to do with the first phase. But what we see in Matthew 24 is really encompassing that whole time frame, that whole event. So it's not only the rapture, but it's not only the coming of Christ when he actually comes to the earth. Because the rapture, he comes into the clouds and we meet him in the air and then go with him to be in heaven, and then we come again when he comes at the millennium. So, but I just wanted to say that to clarify, you know, it's not just speaking about the rapture here, but it's talking about that larger event of Christ's coming. But Matthew chapter 24, in verse 36, It says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And certainly that applies to the day that we're in. We can see the great wickedness that was similar to the day of Noah. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And then skip down to verse 42. It says, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And that's the idea here we see of the Lord's coming. We don't know when it's going to happen. It's at hand. And just like the thief, he doesn't announce his coming. He doesn't say, okay, I'm coming tomorrow at 2 a.m. and I'm going to be there to rob and ransack your house. No, he doesn't announce his coming. And the same is with the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming. He's going to come like that thief in the night. And we need to be prepared. And that's why over and over we see that command to watch and to be ready and to be prepared. You know, the watch, the guard, night guard, if he knew the thief was coming at a certain time, he'd be ready and not let that thief come in. So we see a picture here in the Word of God of the thief coming and breaking in, which in a sense we see as a picture of when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come. Now, I don't want to emphasize and spend too much time on this, but I thought it'd be good. Maybe for some, this is very well known, but maybe for some of you, you might not have understood or heard of this before. But we see, or there's different views that people have on when the rapture is going to take place. And it's important to know what the Bible says. Three major views, and really the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the rapture all centers around the tribulation. Does it come before the tribulation? Does it come in the middle of the tribulation? Does it come after the tribulation? And essentially, those are the three different views that we call the pre-tribulation rapture view, the mid-trib rapture view, or the post-tribulation view of the rapture. And people over the time have had arguments for these, but it seems to be very clear in the Bible that Jesus Christ at the rapture is going to come, and it sets in motion all the different events that are going to happen in the end times. So the tribulation is going to take place after Christ comes and takes away his children. And that tribulation, pre-trib view of the rapture believes that evil will increasingly characterize the world until Christ returns to take believers away in the rapture. And as I read that, it really encouraged me. You know, this is a wicked world we live in. It's a dark day. And it's not that it's never been this way before. It's always been a wicked world. But we see just the heightening and intensity of the wickedness in our world today. And you know what? Jesus Christ is going to come and rapture us, take us out of this wicked world. And it's pretty self-explanatory, but the mid-tribulation view believes that halfway through, 3.5 years into the tribulation, before the judgment of God intensifies, he's going to take out the believers, the second half of the tribulation. And then in the post-trib, believe that believers will go through the tribulation and will meet Christ in the air on his way to usher in his millennial kingdom. Now, turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. And I think this is probably one of the strongest verses and one a great argument for why we believe that Jesus Christ is going to come and take us as Christians out of this world before the tribulation. And of course, we are, as children of God, He has delivered us from judgment. And so it doesn't make sense for us to have to go through the tribulation period that He is going to judge the world with. But in Revelation chapter 3, in verse 10, it says, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience," and this is the key phrase, "I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation." Obviously, this is in the context of Revelation and end time events. But it goes on to say, "Which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." He says, "I will keep thee from the hour of temptation," or the hour of tribulation, that hour of testing. And He is going to keep believers from that. We could also look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9. And then there's other arguments that we could use as well to support this view that Jesus Christ is going to take the believers home to be with Him before the tribulation period. But I didn't want to dwell too long on that. I just wanted to state that so you're familiar with the different views that are out there, because we need to be aware of what the Bible teaches so that we can refute the wrong doctrine on that. So, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the timing, it's promised in the Word of God. We see the timing, it's imminent, it's at hand, it could happen at any moment. Tonight could be the night that Jesus Christ comes again to take believers home. So Christ is coming again, and this truth, this fact, and the fact of the timing of it ought to affect our lives. It ought to affect how we live our lives. You know, tonight as a Christian, this has a direct effect, or it should have a direct effect on our lives. It ought to directly affect the decisions we make. It ought to directly affect what we do with our lives and how we live our lives. The fact that Jesus is coming again, that we will see that very same Jesus, and it could be today, ought to be motivation for us today to live right and to live for God. And there's two things we see in the Word of God that this, the coming of Christ, ought to affect, the effect that it ought to have on our lives. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3, the coming of Christ ought to purify our lives. It ought to purify our lives. Knowing that Jesus Christ is coming, knowing that today we could be in His very presence, ought to cause us to purify, to get rid of unholy things, unrighteous things out of our lives, so that our lives are pleasing and right when Jesus Christ comes. I love the verse, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3. I remember quoting it many times in the academy, as we would say our pledges and different Bible memory verses. But we'd often quote this verse, 1 John 3, 3, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Knowing that the righteous, holy Lord Jesus Christ is going to come again ought to motivate us to purify ourselves. Every man that hath this hope in him. That's the hope, the confidence that Jesus Christ is coming. Any man that has the certainty and the confidence that Jesus Christ is coming, they ought to purify themselves. They ought to cleanse themselves. They ought to be made ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when your mom or dad as a young child gives you an assignment, boy, when you know they're coming and somebody says, "Mom and Dad are pulling in the driveway," there's that motivation to quickly get done what they've commanded you to do, to be ready for the coming of your parents. And when we know that Jesus is coming and that it could be today, there ought to be that motivation, that incentive for our lives to be pure, for our lives to be right and pleasing to the Lord. And a very important truth here, 1 John chapter 3, that having this confidence, this hope, we ought to purify ourselves. And if it's important that word hope is often used in reference to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's much different concept than what we use hope today. Today, the word idea of hope is you're hoping and wondering if it's going to happen. Well, in the Bible, when it uses that word hope, there it's speaking of confidence and certainty. So every man that hath this hope, the confidence, the certainty that Jesus is coming again, he purifieth himself even as he is pure. So very important truth. So the effect of his coming, it ought to purify, we ought to purify ourselves. You know, Christian, tonight, what does your life look like? Is it dirty? Is it filthy? Or is it pure? Is it ready to be in the presence of a holy God? We ought to be purifying. We ought to be getting out of our life, getting out of our home, getting out of our mind, those things that are not pure, that are not right, so that we can be ready for his coming. But another truth that we see in the Word of God, that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, how it ought to affect our lives, we see in a couple different places, but turn to our text just after the next chapter from where we read, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Really, verse 5 continues on this theme of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in verse chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Let us watch. You know, that day when we were watching for the president's plane, we were vigilant. Our eyes were focused into that distant sky, looking for that coming of that plane. And for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're commanded to watch for his coming. We're to purify and get our lives ready, but we need to be vigilant and watching and looking for his coming. And in Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, we see this command as well, looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope. There's that word again, hope. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God, even our Savior, Jesus Christ. It says looking for that blessed hope. We're commanded. The coming of Jesus Christ ought to have an effect on our life. It ought to result in action. Us watching, us looking for his coming. I wonder tonight, have you been conscious of the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again? Have you been watching? Have you been looking? The passage we read there in Matthew chapter 24 had this picture as well of watching and looking. Don't go to sleep. Don't fall asleep. And that's what we see here in 1 Thessalonians 5. Don't sleep as others do. Watch. Be ready. Be looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see the Word of God, in the Word of God, the promise of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that it's promised. We see the timing of the Word of God, and we see the effect of His coming in our lives. Now I wonder tonight, how is His coming going to affect us? You know, Christian, tonight, is there something in your life that needs to be removed? Is there something in your life that you need to purify? You need to cleanse something about your life. Some sin, something that you're holding on to, some bitterness, some anger, something that is not making you ready for his coming. In our text in 1 Thessalonians 4, as we conclude here tonight, I want us to think, really, Paul tells us what to do in light of these truths because of the fact that Jesus is coming again. And let me encourage you and remind every Christian, every child of God, that he is coming again. It could be today that we are in the very presence of God Almighty. It could be today we see our Savior. And that ought to be motivation to stay faithful. It ought to be motivation in these trying days to look to Jesus, to look for His coming, to even have the heart cry like John had, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus," where we're ready and waiting and ready for Him to come. But here in our text, Paul tells the believers not to be ignorant. In verse 13, it says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant." You know, as Christians, we shouldn't be ignorant about this truth, that Jesus Christ is coming again. And in light of that, it's in the direct context here of those that have died as Christians. When we go through the trials of death and losing loved ones, it says we ought to not to sorrow as those that have no hope. And there's that word again, even as others, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Boy, this lost world, they don't have anything to cling to. They don't have anything in the valley of the shadow of death to cling to. But as Christians, we ought not to sorrow, because it's just a temporary thing. It's just a temporary sleep until Jesus comes again. And in the trials and the hardships, we ought not to lose hope. We can cling to this promise, the blessed hope of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And someday, very soon, He's going to take us out of this, whether it's by death and we're in His presence, or at the rapture that He comes and takes us home to be with Him. But in verse 18, at the end of this chapter, Paul exhorts the believers there in Thessalonica. He says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Tonight, let's encourage one another. Let's find comfort in this truth. Comfort one another with these truths, with these words that Jesus is coming again, that He will soon be here, and we will be delivered from this wicked, sin-cursed world. Jesus will come again and take away His own. And then as it goes on, Paul commands them to watch. And tonight I encourage every believer of God to watch, to look for His coming, to have that urgency, that vigilance, that fervency in looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be watching and waiting and looking for His coming. I wonder tonight, maybe you are not prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're not ready for Him to come because you're not one of His own. In that rapture, when He comes, He's taking those that are His own, His children, He's taking out of here. But you know what? If you're not a child of God, that's not going to bode well for you. You are going to be left here on this wicked world. And it's going to get very wicked and have to experience God's great judgment. Tonight, are you saved? Are you one of God's children? Are you one of those persons that He is going to come and seize and take away? Or are you going to be left? Tonight, are you saved? Are you a child of God? Or tonight, as a Christian, maybe you are, but are you right with God? Is your life pure? Are you purifying? Are you growing in your walk with God? Are you growing in your relationship with Him and becoming more and more holy and pleasing to God so that we are ready for His coming? So tonight, Jesus is coming again. We see the promise and we see the timing. It could be today. And that ought to motivate us. It ought to have an effect on our life to live and to be ready for His coming. And then most importantly tonight, as Christians, let's be encouraged. Let's find comfort in these words that Jesus is coming again. We aren't going to be left. He hasn't forgotten about us. And maybe He's not going to come today or tomorrow, but let's be ready each day so that if He does come, we are ready for His coming. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the promise and the certainty and the confidence that we can have that Jesus Christ is coming again. The very same Jesus, our Savior, the one that died there on Calvary, the one that left heaven's glory, came to the sin-cursed earth, died in our place, and rose again, and is right now in heaven, making things ready for us. Lord, I pray tonight that you would use the Word of God and these truths to be an encouragement for God's people to find comfort, to find motivation, to live right, to do what's right, to obey the Word of God, to live for God, to win souls, so that we are ready at His coming. Lord, I pray that if there's a lost person that's hearing these truths tonight, that they would be convicted greatly, that they are not ready. That they, if Christ were to come tonight, would not be ready. But Lord, there's time. Right now is the time where they can call on the Lord Jesus Christ to save them from their sin. And they can become a child of God. And they too can be taken away when Jesus Christ comes. So use these truths to encourage and strengthen our church, I pray, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.